Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We thank you for being with us on a Trash Tuesday. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering a 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? It's extra. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. Cam Newton is a member of the New England Patriots. And now, will he end up winning the starting job? And what does this say about the Patriots' actual faith in Jared Stidham? Joining us here on the show to discuss the ins and outs of this is senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe, our friend Ben Volen. Ben, good morning.
Another quiet week in New England here. Nothing going on.
Yeah. Every week there is something, and this felt like a natural fit for a while, but there were reasons to believe that it wouldn't happen, that Cam wanted more money, longer security, that the Patriots really actually did like Jared Stidham. Out of all of that, what did we learn about the Patriots' desire to upgrade to the quarterback position?
So, D.A., I'll have to admit, I was one of the people who did not think the Patriots would bite on Cam Newton. Obviously, the talk all spring has been the Patriots need a quarterback who's out there. And when I was going down the list of pros and cons, I felt like Cam Newton, with his style of play, you know, career completion percentage under 60%, his injury history, and obviously his persona, the flashiness, I just didn't think it would be a good fit in New England. When I got completely wrong and what I forgot was that Bill Belichick doesn't care about any of that. He cares about one word, and that's value. And Cam Newton provides tremendous value. He's in New England on a minimum salary contract, absolutely no attachment whatsoever. If he has a bad camp or a bad season, they get rid of him. No strings attached, no problem. But the upside is unbelievable. A 31-year-old former MVP with a huge chip on his shoulder now coming to New England and looking for a lot to prove. And my very educated guess is that Belichick wanted Newton the whole time, but was just waiting him out. And Cam Newton was hoping a market would materialize. It never did. And it wasn't just for him. Andy Dalton didn't get any money. Jameis Winston didn't get any money. There were not jobs. There were too many players out there and not enough jobs. And you know what Cam Newton, I think, finally realized the money wasn't going to be there. The situation wasn't going to be there. So he found a pretty good spot in New England where he gets to play for the best coach in the NFL and a pretty good roster outside of the quarterback position. And now that Cam's here, that I think the Patriots are looking pretty good. So he's, you know, on a one-year deal, a prove-it contract. He's hoping to cash in next year, whether it's New England or otherwise. But to me, this was a very smart move by Newton and tremendous value by Bill Belichick.
What is the biggest potential pitfall in Cam Newton being effective this year for the Pats?
There's two. One is you have to look at just the circumstances. With the coronavirus, you know, canceling off-season workouts, who knows what training camp's going to look like, who knows how much practice time these guys will get. Having to learn a new system, new coaches, it's going to be very difficult for Cam Newton and any quarterback joining a new team. So, I think it's Cam Newton's job to lose, so I expect him to be the starting quarterback, barring some sort of disaster, but it's going to be very difficult for him to adapt. And then I think the injuries are the biggest concern with Cam Newton. 2 years ago, it was his shoulder that really sapped him of a lot of his throwing strength. And then last year was his foot injury that cost him almost the entire season. However, I think these are injuries that time can heal. And I think time has been on his side for this. He looks pretty good in those workouts that he's posting to Instagram. I know those are controlled environments and you have to take those with a grain of salt. But to me, it's all about his health. And I think things are trending in the right way for Cam Newton.
Ben Volen joins us, senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe, as Cam Newton is now a member of the New England Patriots. What do you think? Did the Pats synchronize the announcement of their signing to overshadow a day where they get popped by the NFL yet again and punished and penalized for Spygate 2?
Yeah, you don't think those things organically came out at the same time at 7 o'clock on a Sunday night at the end of June? You don't think that was an organic release of the news? Look, my hunch is, even though the penalties for the Spygate 2 seem harsh and Patriots fans are complaining that a third-round pick is too hard, I actually think the NFL kind of worked with the Patriots on this one throughout. I'm as skeptical as anyone, but I actually believe the Patriots here that this was an honest mistake. A guy walked into the press box wearing a Bruins jersey, sets up a tripod in front of 200 people, and starts filming the sideline. If they were going to cheat, I think they'd be a little more secretive about it, not so obvious. So I believe the Patriots, and I think the NFL does too, but they knew they had to punish them. But, like, this investigation, DA, took over 6 months. And why? I mean, the Patriots admitted they were wrong. It was black and white. They had the video. This thing should have been over with in 3 days. But I think the NFL was trying to help the Patriots kind of ease the sting of this whole thing by drawing it out. People forgot about it. And now I think they allowed the Patriots to kind of control their timing of the release of the punishment. And I think the Patriots have probably known about it for a little while, and they decided to release it. You know, just so happens the day that Cam Newton was signed. And you look at the Boston Globe website, the top five articles are all about Cam Newton, and then midway down the page, it's about the Spygate 2. So I think it was an effective tool by the Patriots, but no, I don't believe in coincidences there.
So I say this respectfully. I love your reporting. I love you as a reporter. I love your coverage. But why do the Patriots deserve the benefit of the doubt from you or anybody that it was a, quote, honest mistake when their history suggests for 20 years under Bill Belichick, they are constantly looking to bend and or break the rules?
Yeah, I would agree that, and it's not just them, DA. You guys know, if you ain't shooting, you ain't trying. And, like, Tom Brady is not the only one, defying the NFLPA right now with the workouts, but he's the most high-profile guy, so he's the one that we pay attention to. Their explanation, I just think it makes sense. They were doing a documentary for their website, the Senior Job Series. The Patriots said that the cameraman, they usually only film home games. They stand right behind the Patriots bench. They've never been to an away game before, so they've never been in a press box. They didn't know the rules. Now, I don't think there's any excuse for not knowing the rules, especially that organization of all teams. Every person inside Gillette Stadium should know what the videotaping rules are. But look, like I said, if they're gonna cheat, they're not gonna send a guy in a Bruins jersey into the press box to go film. I mean, if they really wanted to film, just buy a ticket and take out a cell phone camera. That would and do it from the stands. That would be much easier. And I think the penalties reflect the fact that they are repeat offenders. If this were the Minnesota Vikings, they're not losing a third round pick. They're probably just getting a fine of $100,000, and that's the end of it. But because this is the Patriots' third trip to the principal's office, the NFL had to punish them. And I think a third-round pick is appropriate. I think it's harsh enough, not overly harsh. The Patriots, they took the punishment on this. But their explanation to me does make sense. And I don't think a team that has gone through as much as they have would be so brazen to break the rules and risk everything again.
So I agree with you. I think that the punishment fits the crime. I don't think it's that huge of a deal. I think they got punished pretty harshly, and I don't really think it's that big a story. So I kind of even hesitate to continue to ask you about this. But This is what I find interesting. The Patriots, as you know from being inside that organization, and I know from being around that organization, and it doesn't even take our expertise, they are the single most efficient, ruthlessly efficient, accurate, comprehensive organization in football. The one thing that they don't do is sloppy. For 21 years, the Patriots have never been sloppy about anything. They have been absolutely on point strategically about everything. And when it comes to this, people basically say, well, they got sloppy. I mean, Belichick didn't know. I mean, they just went in there. They didn't know the rules. It just defies logic that they would know the rules on everything to a T, including taping for their history. But suddenly this one time, rogue guy didn't know the rules. We got sloppy. We were hit. I mean, isn't that part of it kind of hard to explain away for the Patriots organization that does everything remarkably strategically accurately?
Yes and no. I would disagree with you there. They didn't exactly do their due diligence on Aaron Hernandez a few years ago, and that ended tragically for a lot of people. And you know, the Patriots.
Well, what do you mean they didn't do their due diligence? I mean, they knew that Aaron Hernandez was a bad guy, and they took a risk on him. He was good value in the draft.
Right, but well, that's the thing. They knew he was into like marijuana and probably did some unsavory things at the University of Florida. But I don't think they really did their due diligence and really weighed the cost benefit analysis of bringing the guy in. And,
really, I mean, Belichick's relationship with Urban Meyer, and Urban Meyer knew Aaron Hernandez's problems. You don't think that
Let me finish. Not only did they draft him, they gave him a $40 million contract after the fact. So yes, I don't think they really did their due diligence. They thought he could score touchdowns. You know, like that's you know how it happened in New England, and they they thought a new contract would change him. But Belichick knew about some of the things going on, and they still kept the look. We're getting off track. The point being, the guy who was busted in this situation, the videotaping, was not a football employee. He's a video producer, for Kraft Sports Production. Like, yeah, he works in Gillette Stadium, but I don't know if Bill Belichick ever met the guy. Now, the Patriots are at fault. That's an organization top to bottom. Everyone in that building should know the rules, but I just don't think they're as buttoned up as you are presenting them as, and it's a big organization, and sometimes it can be hard to make sure that 500 people inside the building all know the rules at all times.
I think that's fair, but you don't consider them the most buttoned up organization in football?
I mean, how are we defining that? And I don't know other organizations, so that's a tough opinion for me to say. Look, obviously Bill Belichick has his act together, and the Crafts are very smart. And I think we saw with the orchestration of the news release this week, certainly this is a very well-run organization. But they make mistakes. They're human. It happened here. And the video department did not know the rules, and they got busted. But, look, they're not as efficient and buttoned up as it's not like they never make mistakes. So I would just disagree with the classification there.
Okay, I think that's fair. When it comes to Deflategate, did you feel like that was strategic, or did you think that that was a quote mistake where they got sloppy?
No, I think they did it. They were busted, and they never made two ball deflation guys available for interviews, and they have disappeared off the face of the earth, and they quietly fired the guys, and they never explained what the deflator text means, and all. So yeah, they were busted, and I thought the punishment was appropriate, and I thought Brady was a fool for destroying his cell phone. The thing was foolish. It escalated far beyond what it needed to. The NFL took it too far, and the Patriots and Tom Brady took it too far, but they definitely did it, and they were definitely guilty. So, yeah, I'm definitely not some Patriots apologist. I can appreciate, each incident independently for what they are. I think Spygate, Deflategate were appropriate. They got busted. This time, I think, really was an honest mistake, and they still got punished for it. I think it was appropriate.
Yeah, no, I don't think that you're a Patriots apologist, which is why I'm interested in your thoughts on this. I want to know, do you think that with Cam Newton, the Patriots are the best team in the division again?
Definitely. I think you could have maybe even made that case when Jarrett Stidham was going to be the starting quarterback. Not that we had any idea how he's going to play, but I just think the division is – none of the teams are quite there. Everyone's hyping Buffalo. coming off a great season, 10-6, or great by their standards. They have an excellent defense and a very solid coach in Sean McDermott, but I am not a Josh Allen fan. I think they went 10-6 in spite of him last year, and I'm expecting the Bills to regress this year. I think they're more of a 7-9, 8-8 team, especially I think the schedule for everyone in the AFC East is going to be much more difficult. The Jets, you know, they're a dysfunctional mess always. I mean, who knows? I do think Sam Darnold is going to benefit from having Adam Gase, you know, be his coach over the offseason, having continuity there. But it's hard to pinpoint the Jets because they've just been so dysfunctional. The team I kind of like are the Dolphins. I think they might surprise some people this year. I love getting Tua. I love the moves they made in free agency. Byron Jones, Kyle Van Noy. I really like what Brian Flores and Chris Greer are building in Miami. I just wonder if they're maybe a year away. You know, and now in New England, you've got you're returning a very good defense. Most of the players are coming back from last year's number one defense. You've got a very good offensive line, getting David Andrews, Joe Tooney back, probably all five starters. And now he's got Cam Newton running the show. So I definitely think the Patriots are the favorite in the AFC East.
Ben Volen, check out his coverage because the Patriots right now are once again topic A in the NFL at the Boston Globe's website. Also follow him on Twitter. He's a great NFL follow, senior NFL writer for them at Ben Volen, V-O-L-I-N. Ben, thanks as always, buddy, for joining us this morning, man. I appreciate it.
All right, good stuff, DA. Thanks a lot.
You too. Ben Volen joining us this morning here on the DA Show. The one thing that I would counter with Ben's thoughts on the Patriots, and let's just go back to Aaron Hernandez, is I think that the Patriots took a calculated risk. I think that the relationship between Urban Meyer and Belichick runs deep. Urban Meyer clearly knew the problems that Aaron Hernandez had. Belichick saw value in drafting Aaron Hernandez because a lot of teams were scared off and said, we'll take the calculated risk that we get good value here and we can straighten him out. And when he was producing for them, they gave him an extension, but they knew that he still had skeletons. They knew that he still was running with bad people. They just thought he was at least being productive on the football field. And so it was, again, worth the investment because he was helping them win football games. I don't think, though, that was sloppy scouting or a mistake by them. I think they knew what they were getting involved with, and they saw it as, you know, as they always do, a market devaluation, that they could take advantage of a low market, which is what they just did on Cam Newton, which is what they've always done. We'll get him for cheap at our price because he's not worth it to other teams, and we'll scoop him up. And I think they've done that with a lot of guys. But the story's about Cam Newton and the Patriots moving forward, not Aaron Hernandez. When we come back here on the DA Show, let's talk some Major League Fishing because MILF is back fishing, MLF, Major League Fishing, and my good friend Mo from Baltimore is going to be joining us as well for a Trash Tuesday. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Dude has made himself what he is, a very successful broadcaster and entertainer that people are watching. Big DA house right here. Let the record reflect it. I respect him, I love the guy, and I like the way he handles his business.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And today at 12 Eastern, 9:30 Pacific, the best women's soccer players in the world get on the field as the Houston Dash take on the Utah Royals of the NWSL Challenge Cup. It's streamed live on CBS All Access and available on CBS Sports Network at midnight.
CBS Sports Spectacular!
Remember that the DA Show is available on YouTube as well. The best of clips every single day. Go to YouTube and search the DA Show, and you'll find us there. What a run it has been for our next guest. Another victory in the first FLW Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit Super Tournament. He's a guy that has dominated professional fishing over the last calendar year. He's part of Major League Fishing, MLF. Joining us this morning on the show is Jacob Wheeler. Jacob, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure, buddy. Thanks so much and congratulations. There's a lot of publications that are ranking you as the number one angler right now in the world. How's it feel to be ranked number one?
And it feels good. You know, it's just, hey, listen, when you're in that position, sometimes you just got to keep working hard because there's always someone working harder than you trying to get to the top of the sport. So it's definitely humbling. Looking at that in the last few years and thinking back 10 years ago, you know, 10 years back is sort of, for me, I'm looking at it like, man, you know, I would have never guessed I was here at this point in time in my life. So very humbling, very exciting, but to also understand, hey, listen, you can't stop working.
So tell our listeners what it's like to try to outwork the competition as a professional angler. What does a workday look like? What does the research look like? What does that entail?
So I spend about 20 hours, give or take, on the computer before I prepare for a major event, looking at aerial photos, topo maps, just researching the body of water that I'm going to. If I have some history there, then I sort of get an idea. And then I'll spend a full day rigging rods. So I'll actually sit there and I'll write down, okay, I want 35 rods. Now, this is going, you know, obviously you don't need all this, you know, to just go fishing. But for me and in my profession, I sit there and I'll have 35 rods and I want this bait, I want this line size, and I want it to do this, and I want it to do that. And I'll have all those rigged up. So then it takes a little while there. And then you get all that sort of rigged up, that pre-sort of workout, pre-tournament stuff or pre-practice. And then you go out there and practice and actually put it out there on the water and try to dial it in, you know, before the tournament. So that's sort of how it goes. But a lot of time and effort and a lot of time that you spend at the house working on stuff, getting ready, getting all your stuff together before you get on the road.
The number one ranked angler right now, Jacob Wheeler, joins us here on the show. So if you're a sports fan, it's kind of like putting together a game plan or some type of, you know, game plan going into a big opponent. What you're doing is research, game planning, strategy before you even hit the water, which I think a lot of people might not even realize. There's a lot of strategy in all of this.
Oh, there's a ton of strategy. There's a substantial amount of strategy that goes into it all. And you have to think about it as, I mean, weather changes things, you know, pressure from other anglers change things. So you have to understand, like, okay, when you come up with a game plan, it's always changing, you know, and it's a gut feeling thing that, you know, you sort of just get, you either have or you don't, and you're like gut feeling, like, I need to go do this or I got to go do that. And it's sort of hard to explain, but it just happens. And so that's the biggest thing in any sport. You know, I got a buddy of mine that plays out west, plays for the Clippers, Paul George, and we fished together quite a bit and grew up. And so, like, we talk about it all the time, and he's like, dude, he's like, oh, like, good job, congratulations, good job, this and that. But we just talk about bass fishing, we talk about basketball, and it's sort of cool to see, you know, his side of the deal. It obviously is a lot bigger deal mainstream, but it's also cool to have him out there on the boat with me sometimes.
I didn't realize you and Paul George were tight. When did you guys meet?
So I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana. So actually, we met when I was probably around 23. We started fishing together right there when he was playing for the Pacers. And so that was, for me, that was a deal like, hey, man, you want to go fishing? And he enjoyed it. We fished a couple tournaments together, actually won a couple little local tournaments right there in Indiana when I was up there in Indianapolis. And so from there, he's had a celebrity bass fishing tournament out there in L.A. on Castaic the last few years, and I always would just fly out and be his partner for that event. So that's been a lot of fun. So it's sort of like to see that, you know, it's a little bit. It just has a lot of passion. I always laugh at it because, like, dude, if I don't get to play basketball, I want to be fishing. I'm going to be a professional fisherman. I'm like, let's go, man. We can do it.
How is he as a fisherman compared to his basketball skills? I mean, Paul George is a great basketball player, but how is he as an amateur fisherman?
You know what's crazy? So I told him this one time, when I remember this, and we were fishing this tournament. I'm like, hey, Paul, what would you tell me if we were a 2-on-2 basketball game and, you know, we had a lot of money on the line? And I said, I know. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you tell me to get you the ball. So you tell me, right? I said, that's what I'm telling you right now in the tournament. I got this. And he laughed, and he's like giggled. And you know what's crazy is he caught the biggest fish of the tournament that evening we fished. He actually caught two of our biggest fish that day. So Paul's no slouch off the court on the water as well. So we enjoy some dogs. Like, and that's sort of like his getaway, you know. And it's mine too, because it's like, you know, definitely my favorite. I mean, I go out there and just go fun fishing all the time, but It was just sort of a funny deal. You know, he's actually pretty dang solid.
That's awesome. Jacob Wheeler joins us, pro fisherman, pro angler on Major League Fishing Tour, number one angler right now out there. And you've won six events now since the beginning of 2019. You're on a hot streak. What can you credit your run to since the start of last year?
Man, you look at things, you pinpoint things. I think just a lot of it's just maturity in life. You know how I think for me personally, it's a maturity thing. You grow up, you learn from your mistakes, and it's the same thing in fishing. You know, you just mature as an angler. And you understand a little bit more about fisheries. You understand more about fish behavior. You understand more about the competition. And that allows you to become more consistent. And I think that's the biggest thing that, I would say. And then also, I have a little girl. She's a year and a half old. My wife's awesome. I have a great support group behind me. So it's sort of in a position in life, being 29 years old right now, that I'm like, man, this is I feel very comfortable, but also know that I have to continue to work.
I love it. Okay, so you're an Indianapolis guy. So give me your power rankings of Colts, Pacers, and the Indy 500.
So I grew up when Peyton was there. It's so hard. I'll always be a Colts fan, but it's also a Peyton Manning fan. I was there when he came back, when he was playing with the Broncos. That was sort of an emotional time there in Indy. I grew up during the Reggie Miller era. You know what I'm saying? Reggie Miller era. I would say, for me personally, Indy 500 is huge. Okay, Indy 500 is huge. But for me, I would say Pacers, Colts, Indy 500, personally, me. Because that's just from what I grew up there, that was the big deals for me. And I just remember back in the day when Reggie was in his prime and watching that when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, like that was such a big deal for me growing up.
That's awesome. Jacob Wheeler joining us this morning on the show. Another win, Major League Fishing World Champion, number one ranked angler right now, three-time MLF champ, two-time Bassmaster Elite Champion as well. He's a really fun follow on Twitter. Check him out, @WheelerFishing. Jacob, this was awesome, man. We should do this again later on in the summer. I appreciate the time today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm definitely going to get back out here. We got another event coming up next week, so let's out there and try to get after it.
Sounds good, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Have a good one.
Okay, you too. That was great. Jacob Wheeler. And as I've said this before, having the anglers on for Major League Fishing has been so fun and so refreshing. We began this back at the beginning of the pandemic when everything else shut down. All the other sports shut down in March, but Major League Fishing was continuing because they could naturally social distance out on the water. So they were still going. So we were like, you know what? It's sports. They've got cool personalities. Let's have them on. And I really like fishing as well. So it was naturally interesting to me. The more we've had them on, the more you realize these guys are a great interview. They're all interesting. They have a lot of interest outside of fishing. And they're just fun to talk to. All these guys have had such good personalities and just such a great conversation. So I've really, really enjoyed it. Very cool. Major League Fishing has hooked us up with some great guests, some great anglers over the last couple months. And Jacob Wheeler, one of those guys. That was great. Just casually like, yeah, I'm boys with Paul George. Yeah, we go fishing every so often. It was awesome. So it's a Trash Tuesday this morning on the show. And it appears that we have a celebrity trasher to bring on the show. It appears that my man Mo is on the line. I just got to hang out with Mo on Friday. Mo, my man, how you doing?
I'm good, D.A. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. It was so good to see you on Friday.
Hey, is the mothership too far away? Can I still get a beam up?
You know it. Beam up, Mo, to the mothership.
Yeah.
It's always good to hear your laugh, buddy. So it's a Trash Tuesday. Is it my understanding that you actually want to do a trash today?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, who are you going to trash?
Well, it's not really a trash. It's technically a recycle.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but I had to do this to this guy. He's one of the hardest workers at the station. But sorry, Mraz, I gotta recycle you.
Okay, why are you recycling Mraz?
Because it was all because of yesterday. Yesterday I was trying to call into the show, but I thought you guys were too busy, but it didn't sound like you guys had any guests on, but
I called
7 times. No answer.
So you realized that we had some open space, no guests were booked, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to call in to save Mraz here.
Yeah, I was going to save him because he's one of the hardest workers at that station. He produces the whole show.
Well, how hard could he really work if we had no guests on the show?
Well, all he's got to do is just, like, take you guys out to break, bring you guys back from break, and you got to make sure you got the sound check and stuff. You got to get the epic fail. You gotta get all that, and then P-Bag Marotti is trying to He's trying to diss him for not being on his A game. How does that work?
Well, now you're getting the division and the battling inside our walls. You know, when I saw you on Friday, you had to say you couldn't believe that Mraz lost the chicken challenge with those chicken wings, right?
Yeah, I can't believe it. I can't believe it was that. but I didn't eat that many chicken wings either, so.
All right, Mraz, we'll defend yourself to little Mo here.
Well, Mo, two things. Number one, I did finally have a guest booked at 8 a.m. Second of all, you're not really helping me when you say that I'm putting together all these things and you name 4 things I no longer do for the show. So it makes me look like a...
No. I mean, before all the pandemic happened.
Oh, thank you, Mo. All right. Good save, Mo. Good save. I appreciate that, man. And if the pandemic wasn't going on, I would have been there to answer your phone on all 7 calls yesterday. So know that I didn't do that to you.
Mo,
I was just trying to throw you under the bus. I was just trying to help you because Peabody Bugatti was trying to mess things up for you.
Mo, I appreciate that. I will leave all the throwing under the bus. That's what I do to everybody else here, so don't worry about that.
Hey, Mo, are you excited about the Orioles starting to play baseball again?
Yeah, I am excited. Even though it's 60 games, I'm still excited.
Yeah, even though it's just 60 games, how many wins do you think the Orioles will have in 60 games?
45.
Oh, okay, a 45-15 Orioles season, huh?
Oh,
yeah.
I like that. Okay, and are you excited about the Ravens coming back and playing with Lamar Jackson this fall?
Oh, yes, definitely.
I know you got to meet Lamar Jackson, right?
I did get to meet him, yes.
I saw, was it in training camp last year where you actually called a play for them and then they came around and they were all like high-fiving you and had you in the huddle?
Yeah.
That was amazing. You got to call a play during the Ravens practice.
Yeah, I got to call a play and the play actually worked.
It worked, right? They went for a touchdown, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a good play caller. Maybe you should take over.
Hey, Mo, I need you to come coach the Giants because we haven't been able to call a good play in about 5 years.
Sorry, Mraz. That I can't help you with.
Hey, by the way, little Mo, you got your show coming up on Thursday. 105.7 in Baltimore is going to be doing a radio show. Jeremy Kahn's going to be hosting with you 6 to 9 p.m. from your bedroom. Are you excited?
I am really excited. I never had a radio show hosted from my bedroom before.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has. I mean, Mraz has been dying for that for years now, but they still won't give him a show in his bedroom either. So
Jeremy gets to host this show from my house. Heck, why not host the show from my room?
That's exactly right. That's awesome. Do you know who's going to be guests on your show yet, or is it all secret?
It's all secret, but I have a feeling I know a couple people who are going to call in.
Now, I kind of want to name the show something kind of fun and cool. I brought up maybe when I saw you on Friday, Faux Show with Mo. But yeah. Maybe you like that, or should we call it the Mo Show, or what do you like? What should we call it?
The Big Mo Show.
The Big Mo Show?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I like that. The Big Mo Show, Thursday night, 6 until 9 Eastern on 105.7 in Baltimore. I'm going to tweet out the link so that people can listen to you host that show because I think it's awesome what they're doing. And I expect you now to have a demo reel that you can send to my bosses so you can maybe try to get one of our shows here on the network.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
All right. We'll get you an agent, okay?
Okay.
Well, Mo, it's good to have you here on Trash Tuesday, buddy. Just so you know, you're always welcome. You call anytime, okay, my man?
All right. And, Maraz, make sure you answer this time.
All right, Mo. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Okay.
Okay. Little Mo joining us from Baltimore on a Trash Tuesday. I think he should be a staple of Trash Tuesday, especially if he's trashing Mraz for not booking guests.
He's got the Orioles at 45-15, D.A. What kind of wacky season is this going to be?
He should be the GM.
Sell the Orioles to Mo, Peter Angelos. AB has our headlines this morning. Andrew Bogish, good morning. I know that you loved Mo taking a shot at Mraz's booking.
I did, but I also think he might have unearthed another thing that Pete slash Connor aren't doing back in the studio. And I don't know whose job it is to screen calls, but did Mo say that he was trying to call in yesterday and no one was picking up?
Yes.
That wouldn't be on Sean.
Yes, he did say he called multiple times yesterday and nobody picked up.
So we'll just leave that one out there.
Oh, I apologize. I apologize. All right, enough. Don't you have a long update to do?
I do, and it is all sponsored by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility.
Andrew Bogish.
Colorado Rockies
I'm
outfielder
Andrew Bogish.
Ian Desmond is skipping the shortened season, partly because of the fights for social justice around the country. Desmond has been talking more recently about his experiences as a biracial American. He wants to make things better and wants to be home with his kids as they navigate the current situation. Desmond's wife is also pregnant. Washington's Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross and Arizona righty Mike Leake are also sitting out this summer. And from the NBA, Nets center DeAndre Jordan says he is staying home because he just tested positive for COVID-19. The NFLPA wants agents to get their players up to speed on all the COVID-19 risks before training camp. In particular, agents should provide their clients with all the info the union has made available and then encourage players to speak with their personal doctors and team doctors about any concerns they may have. The University of Arizona has paused the return to campus of student athletes because of the coronavirus spike in the area and the connected tax on the local healthcare system. But the school says it's only had one positive test in 83 so far. The NHL says it's had 15 positives out of nearly 1,500 tests on over 250 players who have returned to team facilities for small group workouts. There are 11 other positives among players still at home. And the National Women's Soccer League has amended its national anthem policy after the first two games of its Challenge Cup in Utah. Players are now allowed to stay in the locker room while the anthem plays. The league says it supports players expressing themselves during the anthem, whether that is standing, kneeling, being on the field, being off the field. It's up to everybody to do what they want, and the league supports all of their choices.
So funny. They're like, okay, well, we have the decision to make here. Every player's kneeling during the national anthem. What do we do? You guys can stay in the locker room if you want. Does that help? Okay, all right, that'll help. I mean, it's like now you're kind of forced to just have to know that all of these players are going to kneel during the national anthem, and you can't do anything about it.
Well, part of the problem was in the second game on Sunday, two players didn't kneel, and I think people were mad at them for not kneeling, but it's their choice not to kneel, just like it's your choice to kneel. So I think now they've provided those players like safe haven if you don't, you know, because instead of saying don't be irrationally angry people for either one of these choices, they're now letting them go back and stay inside if they don't want to kneel. And then people can't be mad at them for not kneeling.
It is amazing how topsy-turvy 2020 has become, where the people not kneeling for the national anthem now are worried about the criticism so much that they've got to hide. I mean, Of course, everybody is fighting tooth and nail over this type of stuff. But if you could just zoom out from 30,000 feet, how remarkable all of this is. And ultimately, it's kind of amazing just to witness it take place in our lifetimes. It's pretty crazy. Okay, what else?
That's it. Back to you.
All right. And to thank you, AB. When we come back here on the show, this date in mothership history, do we have another controversial audio clip? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Inside, it's this date in mothership history.
On this date 4 years ago, we had another DA show violation. It's the night we realized Joey Chestnut would be banned.
I am not eating tonight.
So no hot dogs at all, Joey?
I could look at it and critique it, but I hate to be a Debbie Downer.
Stoney? Well, you guys
you can eat it if you want.
You guys can turn around and go home then. I mean,
we can make the other people eat it in the studio. Yeah, it's the end of the night, brother. You're not putting anything in me unless you're paying me big. And you're not that cute.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. Back at you, my man. So, what can we talk about then? I mean,
we can make them. We got a couple people in here to eat them.
We were going to make creative hot dogs, and we were going to have you guys at least try them. But you won't even take a bite of them.
I'll take a bite of it. I'll take a bite.
Bite's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is
This is compromise.
Now we're working towards something.
Now we got something.
The art of the deal here.
Eye for an eye.
Okay. James, why don't we turn Mraz's microphone on over there and see if we can get him going. So, okay. A bite here or there. That's good.
That we can make you get it.
Okay.
We can critique
it. You will eat 70 hot dogs coming up here in a couple of days.
And we're
So one bite won't kill you.
That's like telling... I'm not going to say
Go
that.
Ahead. What
that's
mean
like saying, oh, you know, you're Jenna Jameson's. You can do all this. Why don't you just do this one for free? No, do this one. You know, we're going to do it. We're committed to a contest or competition. Doesn't mean we got to do it every second.
But that's true. But you did eat two hot dogs earlier today.
And it was in my schedule. This was a little bit of a surprise.
Okay.
You caught us.
So Mraz, who did we speak to here in terms of organizing this?
She's not here.
Okay.
Yeah, Tess.
We can blame Tess.
Tess, okay. We will blame. I'm throwing her under the bus. Right. She said
the bus is rolling on her.
Okay.
And what, yes.
And Tess, because we explained.
And that's why she brought hot dogs.
And that's. But you explained to Tess that we were going to do this kind of creative hot
dog. I have
dog.
An email chain
okay.
to back me up.
All right. And she said that these guys would do that. And
she said, yeah, they'll try hot dogs.
Okay. All right. So at least we can get a bite out of them.
Yeah, we'll get a bite.
Okay. So you guys have to take it out with Tess then.
I'm all right.
Okay. Are you the type of guy
I'm like a little bit creeped out.
You were the one that used the Jenna Jameson metaphor before.
Well,
so.
You were trying. You're like, yeah, let's just see what you can do here. No, what the heck?
I didn't mean to act like
I'm not a monkey dance.
One of the most awkward moments in DA show history 4 years ago today. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. I mean, I swear, we could do 4 hours on that clip.
Oh.
It is so aggravating every time we replay that.
There's
every single time.
There's something more that makes me angrier every time that I forget about the first time, but... Just that money quote he gave, that unless you're paying me big, I think is something that we've never really talked about since, just shows he's the kind of baseball player that would walk past the kid and not give his autograph because, oh, you got to pay me for that. Like, you eat hot dogs, Joey. I mean, take a real grasp of reality. We need to pay you big. I mean, and also, she agreed. The whole thing was set up for them to eat. They brought in the dogs. It's in paperwork. Well, it's not in your schedule.
Also...
Loser.
Suggesting that we have to pay you mean that you should never then do any promotion ever because when you do an interview, we don't pay our guests.
Right.
That's against policy for all of these radio stations and networks. So when he went on SportsCenter and ate two hot dogs, he wasn't getting paid.
Right.
So when he brings that up, you know, it's just a slap in the face. You don't get paid every time you promote one of these events. You are booked to get people to watch because if we don't watch, what you do doesn't matter. So right. to say, if unless you're paying me, and also the fact that he went directly to a Jenna Jameson reference, of all the references, of all of the career choices you could choose to suggest, well, these are the things you are paid for, these are the things you are not, you are considering yourself like a porn actress? That's what you consider the parallel of your career to be?
And Matt Stoney, spineless that day. Spineless Matt Stoney.
Yeah, because they're all cowering in the shadow of the great Joey Chestnut. From that day, we said, you're banned for good. We're never going to have Joey Chestnut ever again. Nathan to Major League Hot Dog Eating, they've wanted us to have him on. We've said, no, he's banned. He's not coming on the show. He is not welcome around these parts. I'm sorry. Chestnut is done for good around here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.